Access number 30,001, Mr. Peter Hurst, Real 20. Can we talk about the differences, you know, of these Spitfire Mark 9s? What's different? How different were they?
Well, the Spitfire Mark 9 was better at a lower altitude.
Now, how? What was different about it?
Well, the engine was adjusted with those engine settings and carburetion thing that made it more effective at a lower altitude. Whereas the Mark 7 had a two-stage blower which came in especially for high-altitude work. And
what did you think of the Mark 9?
I like the Mark 9 very much.
Well, what do you like about it?
It was a more positive aircraft. First of all, you didn't have the elongated wingtips. You had more manoeuvrability because of that. And it was better at medium altitude. And I like the Mark 9. Very good aircraft.
Now, around about the 26th of July, you moved, don't you, to Detling?
26th? Oh, Bradwell to Detling. We moved, that's right. Yes. On the 25th, I'd done top cover to Lancaster's bombing no-ball targets again between Dieppe and Amiens. Small amount of flak fired at the Lancasters.
Now, what was Detling airfield like?
Oh, Detling was only a smallish airfield.
Whereabouts is it?
No, it's not near Maidstone Way.
And was that going to be your permanent base?
So we... yes, just a minute. Let's have a look. 26th, that's right, we moved to Detling on the 26th of July. We only stayed there until the 9th of August, so we were there for about 2 weeks.
Now, is this where you're doing these special radar calibrating patrols? It seems very strange. Can you tell us about, were you doing them from there?
Yes. Mopus to Detling, Detling, share openness, all right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we moved to Detling on the 26th of July. And then later that same day, I'd already been selected to do this special job in northern France. And by this time, of course, the troops had established these bridgeheads. And I went, first of all, to Leon Solent, which was a Fleet Air Arm Station near Southampton Way. And I refueled there. I stopped the night. Then I went off the next morning to a place called Maupetus near Cherbourg. And I was attached to number 21 sector for calibration tests. They wanted to calibrate all their new repositioned equipment. And
how do you do that?
Well, you fly on set courses. They tell you where to fly and what height to fly. And then, so they know where you're flying, and therefore they know that they can reset their instruments to that effect.
And how did it go? What do you actually have to do?
Now, for instance, I've got one here on the 29th. I did a calibration run at 2,000 between. I did two runs, one at 2,000 feet and one at 10,000 feet. And they ask you if you do these, stay at these heights, so that they can calibrate their instruments.
And was that difficult?
Not normally, but it did have its dicey moments, because some of the runs they gave me went over the Channel Islands. The Channel Islands were loaded with Germans. I used to fly straight in there, and they were firing ack-ack at me. And when you couldn't do any waving about, because it would upset the calibration.
Now, one thing in the books, as and I don't believe it, to be honest. A foot above or below the given height would render the test useless, but you can't fly at a specific height to a foot. To within 10 foot, perhaps, or even.
Oh, yeah, that's what
I think that's just no, exaggeration.
No, oh, gosh. Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, if you're going 500 feet up or down, then it would upset the calibration of it. But not 10 feet, no.
Well, it's 1 foot, it says. I mean, it's just ridiculous, I thought.
What's he put there?
It just says a foot above or below the given height or deviation from the flight path meant the calibration tests were useless. That's just an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It reads like an exaggeration. Yeah. It doesn't read like one you've made either. So.
Yeah, no, that's an exaggeration.
So it's to within a reasonable amount.
Yes.
Now, what was it like flying? Could you take any evasive action at all when you went over there?
Not really. And if you did, then you were going to upset the calibration. The chaps on the ground were trying to carry out.
How accurate was their anti-aircraft fire?
Well, I didn't see it. Where was it?
I think it's over Jersey. It's over the Channel Islands.
Declan to West Ham escorted. Yeah, it wasn't very heavy. Not, they didn't have a lot of Akakin on the Channel Islands. Where have I got here?
So, you found this a bit nerve-wracking, but not too bad.
You see, I did a calibration run between Burnville and St Malo. St Malo's on the north coast of France, down there just south of the Channel Islands.
Were there many of you doing this flight, or was it just you?
Only me. They sent me because I was the most experienced chap in the squadron, I suppose.
And an accurate flyer.
Yeah.
Now, anything else then?
I did these more calibration runs between St Malo and 75 miles northeast of Barfleur, and calibration runs off Cape de la Hague. Then I came on the 31st of July, I flew back to Detling. And that was the end of that, I think, that calibration. I came back 31st of July, and then I didn't fly again until the 9th of August. I must have had a few days leave, I think.
And then you seemed to move again.
Yes, we went to West Hamnet on the 9th of August. That, in fact, was my first flight after having a few days off. Obviously, I'd had about a week off.
That's part of Tangmere, isn't it? Well, it's not part of
It was in the Tangmere wing. West Ham was where Douglas Barter used to be in 1941.
And what was that airfield like?
Oh, it was a grass airfield. It was quite good. It's now known as Goodwood. It's Goodwood Airfield.
How did you settle in there?
Well, we were staying in our officer's mess was a big house. What was the name of it?
Didn't say. Shopwick.
Shopwick. Shopwick House. That was it. Yes, that's where it was very comfortable there. Had a nice room. I used to share it with the other flight commander.
So it's an old, not stately home, but it's a large house.
Oh yeah, it's a type of stately home. Not wasn't a massive stately home, but it was a very large house, and it was our officer's mess as well.
What was it like having a mess in a nice old house like
that? Oh, very, very good. We used to set up a bar, of course, and it was quite good.
Now, what do you remember of the raids, the various forms of operations, these rodeos, ramrods, that kind of thing?
The ramrods. And from West Hamnet, ramrods were escorting bombers. And on the 12th of August, escorted 100 Lancasters bombing fuel dumps 15 miles southwest of Tours. Small amount of flak, no enemy aircraft were seen. 2 days later, I did another one. Tarvik target cover to Mitchell's and Boston's, bombing pockets of resistance east of Falaise. They're holding up our troops, I suppose. Heavy flak was put up at the bombers in the Falaise area. The next day, we did a rodeo to Charville and Rance. It was a fairly long way in. Took 2.5 hours, that trip. We did some strafing there. Hits on barges in the canal, in the Oise Canal. And one truck destroyed by Roar. Plenty of light flak. Oh, yes, I remember that trip. And then,
anything else about it, that trip, you remember?
No. The next day, we did another one, as close escort to 36 Marauders to Beauvais. It was north of Paris, just north of Paris. Tough weather, quite a lot of heavy flak. One Marauder went in. The next day, another ramrod. Close escort to 36 Bostons, bombing an ammunition dump at Beaumont near Paris.
Very busy.
Oh, yes. A fair amount of heavy flak was put up at the bombers. Then I didn't do anything on the 19th. On the 20th, I did a convoy patrol off Cherbourg. Quite a different style of operation. Then 23rd, rodeo to Creil, Beauvais, Amiens and Abbeville. Small amount of heavy flak and intense light flak over Abbeville. 25th, ramrod, area cover to Halifax's bombing Nobles in part back on the they're bombing the launch pads again. Close escort to Marauders bombing fuel dumps at Beauvais and Compiègne. Odd groups of heavy flak on the way in and out.
Now, in the book, were they called rhubarb operations?
What no. Rhubarbs were low level things. We weren't on those.
All right.
They had special squadron number 91, I think it was.
Right.
So they were running in pairs. Rhubarbs were in pairs, and they were doing low level work.
So what next then?
Next one was ramrod, close escort to Mitchell's bombing the Hun retreat across the Seine at Rouen. Later that day,
were you suffering many casualties on these operations?
No, we didn't.
So, were you meeting much aerial opposition, or were the German air forces gone by the look?
No, there wasn't much German air force about at this time. They'd gone further east. But we were. You see, they were escorting bombers who were bombing targets to help our army. There's one here. Close escort to 27th of August. Ramrod. Close escort to Boston's and Marauders bombing fuel dumps at Pierrepont, 40 miles northeast of Paris. They're trying to destroy the German fuel dumps and ammunition dumps and things like that, so that it would help our army. Ran a close escort to Marauders, returned back and landed at Manston. I don't know why we had to do that, I'm sure. Next, 2 days later, ran target cover to Boston's bombing fuel dumps at Dieppe.
Now, any incidents you remember, or are these all a bit of a blur now?
Bit of a blur now. I can't remember.
You can't remember
in detail. No. See, I did so many of them that we're only up to August now. On the 31st, we did an armed reconnaissance in the Bar de Calais area. I led the squadron, but it was rather uneventful. A few ground targets were shot up.
Now, it says that in September you start to change the type of operations. You start escorting deep penetrating heavy bomber raids, raids on the Ruhr, well, Germany.
Yes.
Now, how were they different? What was that like?
Oh, we did on the 1st of September. I did one, we did a target cover to Mitchell's bombing, troop concentrations near Abwehr. And then on the 10th, we did an armed recce over Holland, the Dutch islands, Rotterdam, Amsterdam, and The Hague. Intense, accurate flak, Bofa flak over Rotterdam. Then on the next day, we did withdrawal cover to 400 Lancasters, be bombing oil installations near Ham. I got 10 tenths of heavy flak over the Ruhr. Several Lancasters shot down. Small amount of heavy flak over the Dutch islands.
Now, what were these big, supporting big heavy bombers like, these withdrawal cover? I think that's what they were.
Well, when you see, they'd already done their bombing. And we didn't escort them over the target, but we were escorting them out to make sure they got home safely.
So what were those missions like?
Hmm?
What were those missions like?
Well, sometimes they were a bit hairy, but on that one, there was a lot of heavy flak. See, we went well into Germany to help bring them back, to escort them back, because they'd had escort going out there, and the chaps who'd done that were running out of fuel. Had to come back and refuel. So we went out there to give them cover to get them back. But we had to go over the Ruhr to meet up with them and fly home with them.
Was it largely the Ruhr area that you were doing it
in? Yes, yes. From there on, now we're coming into it, mid-September. Close escort to 200 Halifax's bomb and Gelsenkirchen in the Ruhr. Very accurate and intense flak from the Ruhr. And then we did close escort to Mitchell's bombing ferries on the Dutch islands. It was a different area altogether. But the Mitchells were medium bombers. And the next day we did escort patrol over Holland, two aircraft returning from airborne landing. It was the start of Arnhem.
I'll come back to that. I want to stick to this bombing business, really, because you've got a bit in the book about how you were briefed for these. It sounds
how I was
the withdrawal cover. How were you briefed for them?
Well, we until you actually got there, you never knew exactly what you were going to come across. So they couldn't brief you. We'd say, right, well, we're going to stick together, we're going to this area to escort our bombers back. And this one was close escort to Mitchell's bombing ferries in the Dutch islands. So we said, right, well, we've got to keep above them and make sure they get back without being attacked. And this sort of thing would be covered in the briefing.
Were you nervous when you knew you were going somewhere like the Ruhr or somewhere where there's lots of ACAC?
You got used to it, yes.
So you were, but you got used to it?
Well, yes. So initially, you wondered what we were going to come across. But then we got to know. But the heavy flak over the Ruhr was something you couldn't avoid.
What was it like?
Right. The Ruhr was in a heavily industrialised area, about 30 miles long and about 15 miles wide, I suppose, rough guess. And the flak over that area was just like one massive black cloud coming up, where the oxygen bursting. Aiming for our bombers, of course, and they shot a lot of them down with the flak because it was so intense.
But some would come your way, they were aiming at the...
Yes. I remember on one occasion we were doing close escort, flying each side of the bomber stream. And I remember on one occasion there was a Lancaster about 50 or 60 yards on my starboard side, and he got a direct hit. Before he dropped his bombs, one massive explosion. But, I was quite close, so it was coming up around us as well, but we didn't present such a big target as the bombers, of course.
Now tell me about Arnhem then. That's.
We're just coming on to Arnhem now. We first of all flew from West Hamnet, which was near what's the name of that bloody place? Down in Sussex.
Tangmere.
Yeah, it was near Tangmere. West Hamnet was a satellite of Tangmere, really. And we went to Manston. And the reason we refueled at Manston, because it was going to be a long trip and we wanted to have maximum range with full tanks. And then, having refueled, we went off and we did an escort patrol over Holland to the aircraft returning from the airborne landing.
So it wasn't taking them out, it was...
No, on that occasion we escorted them back. Or, no, over Holland to aircraft returning. That's right, they were returning from the airborne landing. Yeah.
And what do you remember of that raid?
I've got bandits reported, aircraft, as enemy aircraft reported, but not seen.
Now, what date was that, by the
way? That was the 17th of...
September.
And that was the day it started. And we were escorting a escort patrol over Holland to protect our aircraft returning from the...
Were you patrolling a lot over Arnhem? I mean, is this the resupply and the secondary drops, or what is it?
Well, no, the aircraft had gone in towing gliders. They were Dakotas, Halifaxes. They were the two major aircraft. I think they used a few Stirlings as well. But towing gliders in, which were full of troops or supplies, and the Dakotas were towing gliders as well. A tremendous number.
But that's the initial ones. What about after that? What were you doing over
there? Well, then, that was on the 17th. That was the date, the first day. And the next day, the 18th, we landed back at West Hamnet on the 17th. And the next day, then we went to Bradwell, which is where we used to be stationed, because it was up on the east coast. And from there, we did escort and anti-flak patrol to Liberators, who were dropping supplies. So they were obviously coming from further up in the UK, and they needed escort. And I got plenty of light flak, several aircraft hit, to be expected when flying at 1,000 feet over eastern Holland. So we were at 1,000 feet that day. Airborne troops, they were dropping supplies to airborne troops near Eindhoven. And they were also, we were covering escorts to the tugs and gliders. So these, escorting the Liberators, but...
Now what was the weather like, James?
Well, up the first 2 days it was okay. Then the next, we didn't do anything on the 19th. Did an air test, quick air test on the 20th. Then the next thing, was set off for Manston, but we're recalled. I don't know why we were recalled. Set off for Manston, but was recalled. That's the 20th. Then 21st, escort patrol to Borg Leopold, covering airborne reinforcements to Holland. There are 2 hours and 40 minutes. These trips were usually 2.5, 2.75 hours. Yeah, all of them.
No trouble with the Luftwaffe, but
we didn't.
What about the weather? Did it get worse?
The weather got worse, and that's what baggered Arnhem up.
In what way? Because I noticed that in the book, but I've not heard it particularly before. What was the problem?
Well, the resupply aircraft, after the first 2 days, which were good, then from there on, the weather was so bad that the resupply aircraft couldn't get in. And that's why the poor chaps on the ground weren't getting resupplies of men or supplies of ammunition, food, everything they needed to keep them going on the ground. On the 21st we did escort patrol to covering airborne reinforcements. So they did get a few reinforcements in on the 21st. On the 23rd we did target cover to 30 Halifaxes bombing heavy flak emplacement. So to try to assist the aircraft going in, they sent these Halifaxes in to bomb the flak positions, so that when the resupply aircraft did get in, they wouldn't get so much flak at them, sent up at them. Then we did escort Ramrod to 12 Mitchell's bombing flak positions near Arnhem. So they sent Bostons in doing bombing. And we were escorting them, trying to improve the position of the chaps on the ground. And that happened quite a bit on the 27th, escort to 150 Halifaxes bombing Stirkrad. Fair amount of heavy flak. A jet aircraft was seen, but it was too far away.
That's moving out of now. You'd moved station again, hadn't you? Had you moved to Manston? 25th of September.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes, we did. 25th of September. That's right. We moved to Manston. Squadron move. That's right. But later on that day, we'd moved, must have been in the morning, because we moved and did this escort to 12 Mitchell's bombing the flak positions. It was a 2-hour trip. Yes, from there on, we were at Manston. And we did... a lot of escorts to Mitchell's bombing area. Escort to Mitchell's bombing Gelder and
so it all starts up again. Now, I don't think we'll go through them as you don't remember the you know, individually. There's not much point
I can't remember.
Around September, you got your DFC. Tell us about that. What did that mean to you, and how was it awarded? Do you know why it was awarded to you?
Yes, it was awarded because Tommy Barnforth, who I told you was the CEO of the squadron, and knew me well because we'd been at flying training school together. And he said, Pete said, with all this flying you've done from France, and being involved in the Battle of Britain a bit, and then the whole of the desert campaign, and now all this that you've done here, gosh, you know, you should have had a DFC a long time ago. And so I'm going to make sure you get one. So Tommy Barnforth put me up for one. So it was it wasn't for any one particular action.
It's a continuous service over a long time, meritorious service or whatever. Now, did it mean a lot to you?
Yes.
It's quite a big award.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it did. Yes, I was very pleased to receive it. I felt that I was worth the award.
And where did you go to? I mean, you didn't get it off the King, did you? They normally go to the Buckingham Palace, but you didn't. You got it.
There were so many DFCs were being given in those days, not in Fighter Command, but in Bomber Command. They gave hundreds away. And the King couldn't go with them all. So I never went to Buckingham Palace.
You just got it locally?
Yeah. I got letters signed by the King, but that's all.
But no trip to Buckingham Palace?
No.